Football on Off the Ball.
Every player's journey looks different and there's different ways of going about it. So we have to make sure that we kind of help create the right journey for the right player.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hankey and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Hello, hello, happy Thursday. This is Word on the Street, where every week we take a sporting topic that's dominating the headlines and we take it to the public and we see what they think. This week we're talking all things technology in sport. So I'm Susanna and this is episode 11, A-Ref. I don't think I could say that as enthusiastically as I should have. But as always, I'm joined by Eve and Rachel. So how are we?
Oh, good, Susanna. Yeah, thanks. Back from my holidays.
Oh yeah, where were you?
I was in London. Got to watch the All-Ireland hurling semi-final. Up Cork. Great weekend.
Where were you when you watched it?
Irish Bear.
Was there a good atmosphere?
No.
Oh.
No, it was quiet enough. And so surprisingly, you know, the match was so one-sided, we were almost like playing cards towards the end of it. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. Kind of like one eye on, like, oh, no, they're going great.
Don't say that to any Dub fans.
I know, sorry.
Although, walking around before it, I was doing like pre- and post-match fan social media stuff. I couldn't come across any Dub fans. Like, there were honestly barely any.
It was like 60,000 to 20,000 in favour of Cork.
Like, if you look at any of the aerial photographs of Crow Park that day, it's like a sea of red and then blue dotted occasionally.
They are good crack, though. I have to give it to you.
Thanks very
much. Cork fans are good crack.
We'll take that.
Yeah. Anyway, this week we are talking all things tech in sport. Coming off the back of the controversial second semi-final, which was, you were there, Eve, while you were around the stadium.
I was around the stadium before and after the Tipperary-Kilkenny game. And what was really funny, so for anyone who doesn't know, there was this sort of phantom point in the final minutes where Noel McGrath went for a point. It was waved off, but due to a human error, the scoreboard showed that it was given and the Kilkenny players were kind of chasing a goal where they could have maybe been chasing points instead.
Mm.
But I was doing interviews afterwards and nobody in the crowd seems to have noticed.
I don't think anybody realised till it was published by the GAA afterwards saying, oh, we got the score wrong.
I mean, yeah. I certainly didn't notice.
Like, if you're in a stadium like that, you're just looking at the scoreboard. You know, you're not being like, oh, that was a point, that was wide. I think the thing that actually caused the ghost point was that one of the umpires waved it wide, but the other put his hand up to catch the ball. Now, absolute techers from him. Yeah, clean catch. Get him on the pitch.
It's like the ball people at Wimbledon. Everybody applauds when they make a good catch.
He proper like caught it. And then the Tipperary fans were like screaming because they thought that was a point. And I assume then that just kind of like rippled through the stadium. So then you look at the score and you're like, oh.
And it was mad because they fully chased a goal when really they only needed to score 2 points, which everyone is now saying in hindsight, they probably could have done.
Definitely. Like they shot for goal twice. And like you can score a point so quickly in hurling. Probably would have changed the game, but look, they took it gallantly.
Yeah, they did. Off the back of that anyway, we've had a lot of reaction. So let's chat to Mick, our favourite Word on the Street fan. He contacts us every week and we're finally playing his voice note. So here we go, Mick.
It's absolutely vital and I'd argue it should even be brought into the GAA now, especially after the ghost point last Sunday. We see how well it works in rugby, VAR and soccer. It just takes out any ambiguity. As sports fans, what's probably one of the biggest main aspects or things we look out for? It's fair play. And I think technology can guarantee fair play. Now, we can't say obviously 100% or 100% of the time it's going to be right, but pretty much by and large, it's going to negate anything that's missed. And defo, it should be, the GAA seriously needs to look at either TMO or VAR. Not just last Sunday, but I go back to the infamous Leinster final of 2010, Louth and Meath, the Joe Sheridan goal, in inverted commas. If the referee had checked if there was a TMO or a VAR type system, and he clearly would have seen the ball was thrown over the line.
Yeah, it's interesting that he mentions the infamous goal in that Leinster final between Louth and Meath, because I went on a bit of a rabbit hole deep dive after this on ghost goals. I was like, oh, I'll put that in and we might get one or two articles. I mean, there's been a ghost goal at least twice every season. So like, this isn't something new. This season alone, you had one in the Leinster Hurling Championship between Dublin and Wexford. Wexford keeper stopped the ball on the line, but the goal was given, changed the game. It happened in the Munster Championship in Camogie between Tip and Waterford. That was way more blatantly obvious. Like, Tip scored a goal. It hit the net at like such speed. It like came out off the inside and the game continued on.
Where was the ref looking?
Honestly, where were the umpires looking? Fair enough for the ref. Like, come on.
Yeah, fair.
You know?
Because obviously, like, when we're talking about that phantom point, it's all about, yes, it was maybe an unavoidable human error, but it does open this topic of a wider conversation of, do we need more technology in GAA to stop things like this, to have the kind of likes of VAR and TMO, which are very controversial topics? So, like, having watched all of these and researched all of these sort of ghost incidents, what's your kind of view on it? Like, Mick is very pro adding technology to GAA in this fashion.
Yeah, Mick pro TMO. I mean, I think Hawkeye, unbelievable. It's like the best adaptation of technology in sport. It takes a couple of seconds, you know, and it's only needed when the umpire calls it in. It's not every time. The only technology I'd like to see brought in is goal line technology.
I was going to
stop
that. So that if it goes over the line, you know it's a score no matter what.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't give out that it's slowing up the game because you're only going to have that happen maybe once or twice, not even every single match. It's actually pretty difficult. I was looking it up. And you'd need at least minimum 5 cameras on each goal.
Wow.
And where the umpires stand could really potentially get in the way of where the cameras need to be.
Okay.
So it's almost like, oh, do you have the umpire stand there or do you fit the cameras? And even at that, that's just going to be maybe Croke Park, Thurles, Parkey Creeve,
not all,
you know?
But if they had the likes of at high level, like a TMO or a VAR, where at least they replay the video and check whether the goal has gone in.
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, what you're saying in that case, if anybody had rewatched it, it would have been clear and obvious that it was a goal.
Yeah, so I think just in terms of that, that's the only thing. I would not like to see TMO brought in for like off the ball incidents. We saw it, Cork v Tip in the Munster Championship this year. Every game, you know, like you'd be stopping every couple of minutes for off the ball incidents. Yeah. I think if you get away with it, you get away with it. And if there's something serious, they'd always review it after. You know, the committee will have a look and say, right, okay, that should have been straight red. You know, you're banned. Like if something
and
really
bad is
happening.
And you prefer that the decision is made afterwards than during the game?
I think like the way it's such a physical sport, like you'd only be calling it back. It'd be stop, start all the time.
I mean, that's the problem with rugby at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, what everyone says is the problem.
Like, I feel like, because the core issue with stuff like VAR and TMO, the idea is great. You have a team of referees kind of with a whole bunch of screens in front of them who can look at the issue from every angle. Like, in theory, that's perfect. It's not technology. It's humans using technology. Mm. But human error, therefore, can still creep in. And combining that with how slow the game can get. Like, hurling especially is so fast-paced. You wouldn't want it to be that stop-start kind of vibe that football is approaching now. And like, yeah, because you're not going to completely get away from human error even with introducing VAR or TMO.
Yeah, let's touch on that because human error is the big topic, especially in discussion after the scoreboard thing, because I think everyone came out afterwards and was like, oh, tech, like, shouldn't be in the GAA, like, what is this? But really, that's a person who didn't click a button or misread a situation. It actually had nothing to do with technology. And we were chatting to two lads on the street today who kind of had a similar thought in mind.
Do you think, like, if the Hawkeye make get something wrong, is that more annoying than if a ref gets something wrong?
Yeah, human error is kind of, it's not too bad, it's okay, but when there's tech there that's supposed to work, you kind of expect it to do its job. I suppose it's, people are human, like, there's everything gets missed. Even last week in the GAA, the error with the point on the system for the on the scoreboard for the Kilkenny and Tip match. So there's always a small bit of human error in sport, but I suppose everyone's doing their best. Like, especially with referees in GAA, it's a tough place to be, it's a tough job to do. It's not the same as rugby. I don't think you get the same respect as a rugby referee would. So you can kind of give them the small bit of benefit of the doubt at times.
It's really funny that he's saying, and I think people would agree, that you would forgive a human for making a mistake, but you wouldn't forgive technology. Yet everybody gets so pissed off at the TMO
or at the officials who make the decisions in VAR, like, they're human as well. And yet it's suddenly, because they're in a box replaying things that actually isn't AI, has nothing to do with tech, like you said, but yet they're still at fault. It's a bit of a bizarre concept.
I mean, ironically, there's now more referees to get mad at than ever.
Yeah.
Like, we're not solving any issues. We're only creating more people to be mad at. I mean, if you look at, say, football, there's, I think it's being brought in this season, and it was used for the first time in some league games last, in some League Cup games last season, that they're bringing in an automated offside in the Premier League. So it's like automatic. It will tell you exactly within a few seconds if this player is offside.
Mm.
Now, it's supposed to kind of negate those sort of, we're going to draw meticulous lines and we're going to spend 20 minutes doing it. That's an exaggeration, but a solid 5 minutes sometimes doing that. And if that can work, then that's great. But at the moment, what you're seeing is just five people crowded around the TV.
It's hilarious. It's just even the little box alone. Like, there's something a bit comical about it.
Like, squinting at the tiny little... Like, why do they need to do that? At least in rugby, we have a massive screen.
Yeah.
Now, those are also not great photos when you've got the three guys like staring up for about 10 minutes. But at least they're not squinting.
Yeah.
Give them a bit of respect.
Obviously, I'm coming from a football point of view where VAR is like video assistant referee. What does TMO stand for?
Television match official.
And how long has that been in rugby? Like,
oh God, you're putting me on the spot. So, I have no idea.
But
let me Google it.
Longer, because VAR was so kind of relatively new. Well, it's maybe 10 years since it was first introduced anywhere, and maybe about 6 years since it was introduced to the Premier League. Yeah, two decades. Like, people are still really angry about it, and they still think it's a novel concept to get angry at.
Yeah, 2001, the TMO came in. Initially in a limited capacity, it says, and then it's been more widely implemented, which, yeah, you now see it everywhere across domestic and international leagues. Sorry. What's interesting with VAR is that I Googled it because I was curious about that. Is there actually any tech in football, or is it the same as a TMO where it's really just another person's opinion? Well, at least they have... Sorry, that's false. They have more screens and they're watching it in slow-mo. But at the end of the day, it's still a human's choice. It's not like a technology is telling them what to do. But in VAR, it says they already use semi-automated technology to assist with offside decisions. But so that'll flag something for VAR and then they review it. But eventually it's still a person's decision.
Yeah. And I think that's just what takes so long. And that's what people get kind of irritated at. But the whole idea of sort of making calls being fully automated is something that we're seeing in a lot of different sports now. Like Wimbledon obviously is on this week. And it's the first year in Wimbledon ever where they're having the electric line calls for everything. So that kind of the era of all the lines people at the end and at the side, that's kind of sadly for me. I think I used to love that. That's gone now. So you have the electric line calling. And we talked to Ellen today and she had a brilliant descriptor of this new era for tennis.
I think it's kind of ironic that they keep certain traditions, like you have to wear white at Wimbledon, but then they take away people's jobs to replace them with AI. It's a bit kind of counterintuitive.
But do you feel like the technology is more efficient than the humans?
I think, didn't they find recently, like within the first week of it being trialed, that there was something that they detected that something wasn't out, but it was out? So at least when it comes to a person, you have one person you can talk to and say, you were wrong on this call. But when it comes to AI, who are you going to blame? Like, Elon Musk, like.
She was very funny. She's also, I don't fully agree with her. I do think the technology in Wimbledon is probably safer than a human lines person.
Yeah, it is.
Lines person? That's not what it's called. What's it called? Sorry.
Line judge? Umpire?
Line judge?
Yeah, lines person.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. I was doing a bit of research earlier and it said on average, a line judge will make about 4 wrong calls every set if it's within 100 millimetres, whereas I'm just going to call it a Hawkeye. Hawkeye will get it right all of the time. But it takes away from that atmosphere, especially in tennis. You know, they had the challenges. I think that's a really interesting aspect in that you can challenge. Each team gets 3 challenges. And, you know, if you're right, you keep it. Yeah. If you're wrong, you go down to 2. That's something that could be looked at across the board. Like in football, it's not like an automatic flag for offside. If the manager is going berserk on the sideline, puts up his little hand and he says, let's challenge this. And then you're limiting it to 2-3 times a game, you know?
That'd be mad having challenges in football. What a novel that think people would actually go demented.
We were talking about this earlier. Yeah. Like, they should have a little extra coach who basically gets to look at the screen like a TMO, and they get three challenges. So if they see something that they... Because we were saying, like, oh, it should be the captain. They get three challenges. But obviously, in rugby and football, the captain might be nowhere near where the foul or whatever happened. But if you have a coach who is specifically designed to stare at a screen and basically work through it, and they have three challenges, and just like in tennis and in cricket, as we learned from the Aussie guys we were chatting to today, you can challenge three times. If you get one right, you get to keep your challenges. If you get one wrong, you lose it. And then, therefore, you can't just like keep challenging and keep reviewing things throughout a whole game.
So I feel like, yeah, challenges in tennis were such an iconic part of the event. And it feels like, you know, we're losing all these kind of like bits of tennis we kind of used to grow up with as technology gets more advanced. But at the same time, that's kind of what's happening with everything. We had a comment from Andrew on Instagram kind of about this change in Wimbledon. And he said, it's a difficult one, as I loved the tradition and the percentage linesman calls at Wimbledon from a spectator point of view, as it made the game more interesting. But I also understand why an electronic system is more accurate, particularly when the calls made affect a player's livelihood.
I mean, it is more accurate. Like, that's the thing about these challenges. Everyone's complaining that we don't have the challenges anymore, but we've just replaced it with a permanent challenge. Like, before, it used to be a human error, and if the human made a mistake, it went to technology, and technology told you whether it was a mistake. Now we just have technology all the time. There is no room for error. And what happened at Wimbledon during the week, which was Russian, oh, I can't pronounce her last name, but her first name is Anastasia. Mm-hmm. And I think it was against Great Britain's Sonny Cartel.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Was that it was a human error. Somebody had turned off the system for a game.
Mortified.
Yeah.
That was you. First job in Wimbledon.
I'd quit. I'd actually flee the country, I think. But anyway, so it meant it was off, and the automated system embarrassingly didn't go off. I think it said, I don't know if it said anything or something went wrong. I think at a different game, actually, it started playing music in the middle of a set, which was a different fault. But anyway, basically, it had nothing to do with the technology being wrong. It had something to do with a human using the technology incorrectly.
Yeah.
And now people are complaining that they don't trust the tech. It just doesn't make sense to me.
And that's something that would probably never happen again. You know, like, that's a bit of a teething problem.
Well, they've turned it off. So you can no longer, an operator can no longer turn it off during a game. So they've already gotten rid of that issue.
And that's the thing with AI, you know, it is going to keep on learning. So problems that we're seeing now probably won't be problems in a year's two time, because it is just going to get better and better. But it's almost the argument of, do we want perfection in sports? It's not what we watch it for. You know, we were chatting earlier and I was saying some of the biggest controversies that I think of, it's like, oh, if TMO or VAR was there, like Thierry Henry, handball.
Yeah.
You know, obviously that would have been called out if TMO and VAR were there, but that was a whole new story in itself for weeks. And obviously I would have preferred if it didn't happen and Ireland got through to the World Cup, but it takes so much excitement. And even what would pundits talk about? Like, you watch the Sunday game and they have access to 7 or 8 screens in every angle. And even then they can't decide a lot of the time.
That's true.
Was it a red card? Wasn't it a red card? Should this have been that way? And they're looking at it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's still not completely conclusive, you know?
What is so funny, because we talked to an Arsenal fan on the street today, and he was said that VAR needs to be more consistent. And he's right, and he made some really good points. And he says, you know, there was incidents last season where players were sent off for kicking the ball away. And that was referencing Arsenal's Declan Rice, who got a second yellow from kicking the ball away. And it is really funny, and I do it too, that all football fans agree that VAR is disruptive in the game, and it's making the game, you know, more boring, and it's not good for the game. And then when you have a VAR decision that goes your way, it's like, well, I'm going to take that. I accept, like,
yeah. No, that's the same in rugby. As in, I dislike the TMO when I'm a neutral fan. Like, I went to the Champions Cup final and it was, well, Leinster were meant to be in it, RIP, but they weren't. And I went anyway. Thank you, Brona. We're in the sad struggle street together. But anyway, maybe next year. But it was Bordeaux, Northampton. And I think there was at least 3 that I remember tries disallowed. And it was the most exciting game. Like, it was real running rugby. Everything was happening at a fast pace. Some incredible tries. And then you're sitting there as the TMO calls down and it's like, here we go again. They stare at the screen for 5 minutes. Not allowed. There was a weird random knock on about 20 minutes ago.
Just like the weekend, wasn't it? With with Fiji and Australia. Like, it ruined the game.
That one really annoyed me because it was... So Fiji scored a try and they went back 20 seconds before and it was the Aussie winger, Harry Potter. It kills me every time that his name is Harry Potter. Anyway, sorry. His foot was in touch. And then after that, after he threw the ball back into play and Fiji turned it over and scored, they came back. But that's so unfair because Fiji, it wasn't their mistake. It had nothing to do with them. Everything they did was legal, but they went back to Australia's mistake and punished Fiji for it.
Yeah, we spoke to a lovely gentleman today in Trinity who talked about the impact that TMO has on the flow of a rugby game.
Well, I think it breaks up the whole flow of the game. If a team is playing well, it just murders their ability to actually gain, continue and keep the momentum.
And how do you think we find a happy medium between making the right calls but having flow in the game?
That's got to come down, I think, to the referee being given more confidence, a lot more focus on the referee training, I would imagine. I don't know. And also stop the endless questioning from players and just tell them to be quiet.
I was going to say, it's difficult because when I do root for a team, I want the TMO to come in all the time. Because when I see something that goes against my team, I'm like, how did they not pick up that up? Like, what are they doing in that box? They have all day to watch this. How are they missing that? But then when you're neutral, it's like, oh, I just want to let the game flow.
Yeah, that's so true. It's like, oh, win at all costs. It's like, oh, do we put, you know, the old football, do we put 14 people behind the ball and just, you know, win the game? Or do we want it to be enjoyable spectacle?
Like, that's interesting because when you're talking about kind of watching it from a neutral versus a fan's point of view, we had a fascinating comment on Twitter from Aiden, and this is about football and VAR and football. He said, delays kill the excitement of a goal. I can't remember the last time I watched a full match on TV because of it. I'll correct that statement. I do watch League of Ireland Friday Night Football. So like Premier League right now has VAR, has had it for years. People really dislike it a lot of the time and it can be very controversial. League of Ireland does not yet have VAR. And like even the last time me and my dad went to a League of Ireland match, it was Bowes Rovers. And my dad would go to Premier League matches more than League of Ireland matches. And he just said to me, like halfway through the match, he goes, it's so refreshing to watch football. It's constant and it's not stop-start. And it feels like, you know, organic.
Are they talking about bringing it in?
There's, you know, there's conversations around it. I couldn't tell you if it's going to be there for next season. I know that Shelburne had it last on Wednesday for their game against Linfield. That was a European qualifier, so you need to have VAR. And they had a penalty that was given by the referee on the pitch to Shelburne that was then overruled by VAR. Now, correctly, it was a handball that definitely shouldn't have been given as a penalty. So, yeah, VAR worked in that instance and it worked correctly. But say the next time Shelburne are playing a match at Tolka in the League of Ireland, if that same thing happens, it wouldn't get overturned.
We actually have a clip from last year when I was at the FAI Cup final between Drogheda and Derry. I was chatting to fans about whether they want to see VAR come in and they talked about exactly that, whether they want it in the League of Ireland.
Referees towards Derry aren't always that great. Sometimes you can kind of pick out how a match is going to go whenever you see who's refereeing. So maybe VAR in some stages of the situation might help, but nah, I wouldn't like to see it. What's your thing?
I love VAR. I think it's the right decision at the end of the day. It sometimes takes a wee bit long, but it's a fair game at the end of the day. And
aye, but are you not sitting there being like, oh, what's crack going to be?
No. Right decisions, right decision at the end of the day. If you're offside, you're offside.
I love their accent. I wish I had it. I actually do. That's Northern accents are one of my favourite in the whole country.
Oh, they're stunning. And, you know, if it's offside, it's offside. He's right.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm tying myself in knots here. If it was my team.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Always the same thing. But the thing is, for those Derry fans, the second something goes, if VAR came in, the second something goes against you, they'd all be up in arms. So it's you know, like everything, there's nuance. And like everything, at the end of the day, it comes down to a human being making a decision, whether it's someone on the pitch or someone in front of screens.
Is there like a TMO in football in that if there's, you know, they look at like foul play in rugby? Or is it just so they can use that as well?
Yes.
They can they come in like the TMO? Can they come in randomly?
Not really. So, like, for example, a really good example of what VAR, the kind of limits of VAR, and this is to do with foul play, this is to do with a goal. In the Tottenham versus Liverpool match, October 2023, where...
not to be specific.
Not to be very specific, but as a Tottenham fan, I remember this game because it was a very stressful 2 weeks afterwards where everyone was like, we need to replay the game. And I was like, please don't. Like, Luis Diaz scored a goal. The referee on the pitch marked it as offside. It went up to VAR to be checked, as kind of all goals are. And there was a communication error where... instead of the goal was onside and the VAR people were like, yeah, that's onside. They thought that the referee had said it was onside and they were just double checking it. So they said, yeah, we agree with your decision. Therefore, marking it offside, the goal didn't stand. Liverpool did not win the match.
And they couldn't call back down and say, sorry, made a mistake there.
That's the thing. Once we once Spurs got a free kick and the game continued, they couldn't like interrupt the match and go back. And that's kind of the limit of... I think sometimes we're so restricted by technology in that way. It's like, well, computer says so.
Yeah, like in Wimbledon the other
day.
You know,
yeah,
everyone
that was bad,
could
actually.
See, and wasn't the poor umpire's fault, but it's just like, yeah, we have to replay the point, even though everyone in their mother can see that
why
it's out.
Why didn't he take a bit of ownership there? I do know that Wimbledon protected him when we were like, oh, he was following protocol. I get
and
it.
Like first week as well, you know,
but,
in fairness.
But he was an experienced umpire.
But first week of the system.
But I was asking this. I think the umpires travel. And there's so many tournaments that already have the system in place. So I don't think it would have been his first time dealing with the system. No, I don't think so. And you're just a bit like, I don't know, maybe he's not allowed to take ownership. But watching it as a spectator, I was like, everyone knows that's out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, just give her the point.
It gets so frustrating when it's like, oh, we use technology to get like these clear-cut answers and then they're completely wrong. And you're like, well, we have to.
Yeah.
Just trust what they're saying.
In rugby, it's weird what you were saying, that they couldn't go back. They used to have a rule in rugby that after the conversion was taken, you couldn't go back and check. Mm. But they got rid of that. And I actually kind of wish they would bring it back in, because I think there's a time and a place for a check. And you have, like a lot of people said, that speed is an issue, and that especially in rugby, it just takes too long to check these things. And they do like having the TMO, but they want it to just be reduced. And someone even said, I think there was a comment. Yeah, so Philip on Instagram said, for dangerous play and backing up on-field referee decisions, TMO is excellent. However, when they start spending 5 minutes nitpicking, then that's excessive. And then Rob replied to that and he went, if it takes more than 60 seconds, it's not clear and obvious. On-field decision stands. And that's where I'm like, you have about 60 seconds before they take the conversion. That's your time to think about it, bring it up if needed. Otherwise, let it go.
Fully agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what really irks people, is that there's a lack of common sense sometimes with these technologies and with the people that are using them, where you're so restricted by the technology itself, and they, because they have five screens, they're double checking everything and it takes so long. And that leads to people getting frustrated, to say the
least.
We're
going to play our favourite clip.
Your favourite clip. Where did you get this from again?
It was the same day at the FAI Cup final, but this was a bit of a mashup of all the people who really hate VAR.
It's absolute shite.
Why?
Because it just ruins football. It slows it down too much. It's just horrible.
How do you feel about VAR coming into like the Euros and stuff like that?
It's ridiculous.
Why is that?
Because they're too long at deciding what's going on. Some of the decisions take 2 or 3 minutes. And if you're watching at home on television or you're at a game, you can see it straight away what's wrong, you know. And it takes them that long to draw a line across the pitch.
It can be good and bad. Like if there's a bad tackle and the referee doesn't say it, yes, but I don't like when the VAR tell the referee to overrule it. The referee should be the man that has to make the decision. Can be hard, can't it?
Yeah, agree. Yeah. I just personally don't agree with how inconsistent the decisions can be, because in one game it could be given as a penalty, for example, and then a similar incident could happen a few weeks later and it would not be given as a penalty. That's what I find to be a bit strange about decisions, obviously.
One of the lads there said the ref should be the man on the pitch that makes the decision. The one thing that's good about VAR and TMO and technology is that it does take a little bit of pressure off the man on the pitch. And with all the abuse they get these days, I mean, we saw it recently with Chris Busby, the rugby ref, who got like just absolutely slandered after the Connacht-Leinster game, I think. He got slandered online and it was actually awful. He was getting death threats. It's happened multiple times in rugby. I read Wayne Barnes' book. His children were getting death threats online just because of decisions he's making on a pitch.
Yeah, those kind of people that are sending out those messages are probably just going to focus that energy then on a player and shouting at a ref, you know, we're not supposed to do it. But sometimes if you have these, like, especially older gang at matches, like, given the proper complaining at the ref, it's just not going to be the same if they're shouting that at a screen. You know, you need somewhere to like vent the anger, even if they're completely right. Like, it would really take away from a special cranky part of our games.
Yeah, but it does. Do you not agree that it at least shares the blame out a little bit?
It does. Yeah.
Which
my worry is that it just, there's more people for people to get angry at. Like, it's such a annoying topic because I feel like with the era of social media, the hate just gets amplified and it's impossible for referees to kind of get away from it, sadly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's, again, not a perfect solution.
Maybe they shouldn't name the VAR official or the TMO official. I mean, that's like not great for transparency. But
mask.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see them because they're in a box. I don't think people would like that because it's not transparent. But then that goes against my original point, which is that the pressure is then on the ref on the pitch.
And when you say that, I was looking at our colleague Will O'Callaghan tweeted the referee was announced for the All-Ireland Hurling Final this week. 45,000 views tweet alone.
Will's a bit famous on Twitter, actually.
Yeah, but like that just shows what a big part the referee plays in a game. It's part of the anticipation. It's part of the build-up. You're always, you know, you see the name pop up and you're like, oh no, not him.
I do that a lot.
Even if, you know, if you're playing, you're like, oh, he's not my biggest fan now because of that last match.
That happens to me constantly.
It takes the bias away. There's another argument. There's so many arguments to make. You know, AI doesn't discriminate between teams. If you told the ref to whatever last week, you know, he might like be a bit harder on you the following week, but AI is going to be, or tech, you know, there's no bias there.
Doesn't discriminate. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we've really answered the question of whether technology belongs in sport, but we've given it a good go.
We have.
Any final words in the studio?
I think, listen, VAR, whether we love it or hate it, is probably here to stay. I just think that there needs to be, as many people have said, more consistency with it, because you can have one referee or five referees looking at a decision, but when they're so marginal and if it's not clear and obvious, we just need to do everything we can to make sure the game is as fast as possible and that we're not stopping and starting.
I agree. Speed it up. Speed up the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goal line technology, I think, yes. You know, clear black and white decisions. Was it a point? Yes. Was it a goal? Yes. Everything else,
get rid of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that has been this week's Word on the Street. Please get in touch if you have any topic ideas or just any things you want to tell us. And we will chat to you next week.
Go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you. Hey!